Elijah, he just sort of appears. We don't have a whole lot of where he came from. We do say, learn that he is a Tishbite. We're not exactly sure where Tishbite is or Tish is, somewhere east of the Jordan River. But we have Elijah in a period of time when Ahab is king. And this is in the northern tribes of Israel. All of Israel has been now divided at this particular time in their history. Israel to the north and Judah, and two tribes of Judah and Benjamin in the south. The north is really drifted very far away from God. There have been five kings just prior to Ahab following that separation. And now Ahab is there. And Ahab himself has, he's turned away from God. He's just denied God. He himself is one who is not following Baal. And now Elijah comes. He's sort of a type of John the Baptist. One who is bringing the word of the Lord, crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. These are just desperate times in Israel. But he is a great man of faith. And here in these chapters, actually from 17 through chapter 22 and then on into the first chapter of 2 Kings, we have some of the work of Elijah, a very central figure in the history at this particular time. Perhaps more, if you want to use a copy, more scripture is written now about Elijah as one of the prophets to the Israelites, any of the other prophets. And he is really a word coming from the Lord. Jehovah is my God. Yahweh. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Elohim, the El Shaddai, the Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. But Yahweh, the I am that I am. That was very interesting that we were hearing earlier talking about Moses. And God had revealed himself to Moses. And what was the name that he gave of himself to Moses? Yahweh, I am that I am. God is God and no one else. And this is the God of Elijah. And this is the God who is speaking to Elijah and sending him out and sending him there to the Israel, to this time of the great wickedness. In fact, we are told in chapter 16 that Ahab was the most wicked of all the kings of Israel. And if you can believe it, his wife was even more wicked. His wife was Jezebel. So this is really a very dark time, a very desperate time in the history of Israel. And it's just during this time that God is sending Elijah to his people. His name, as I've said, means Jehovah is my God. And both the in God, in all of his transcendence and his immanence, he is the Lord, the I am that I am. In contrast, we see how we now have, at this particular time, the time that he is coming, those who are worshiping Baal, they're worshiping the one who is, and this is I found very intriguing, the word Baal, which is the worship, the new God that they have been bringing into Israel, was that the word Baal means Lord or husband. And so they've taken on a new husband. They've taken on a new one to be their leader, to be their very interesting, even in Japanese, it would come out that he is the Shu and the Shuji. The word for Lord is Shu in Japanese, and the word for husband is Shujin. But Baal is both the husband and he's the Lord of these people. This is where Israel has gone. And it's to these people, among the wicked Ahab, who is king, and his wife Jezebel, have led them astray, led them to worshiping Baal. Where Elijah comes saying, whose name is the Lord is Jehovah, he comes to turn the people back to God. We look at Elijah's life as we see of him maybe three things, if you're looking there for the 3 points of how he bears witness to God's providence and how he bears witness to the power of God, and how the Lord then, through his grace and mercy, pulls Elijah out of his depression. A depression that had come because he had just sort of been overwhelmed by all that was going on. So we will look here at bearing witness to God's providence, bearing witness to God's power, and also his bearing witness to Elijah to bring him out of his depression. Elijah testifies by word and conduct to the people of Israel. Ahab is king. Ahab has pushed the word of the Lord aside and completely introduced the worship of Baal or Baal to the people. He's built a temple there. He's built altars to Baal. He has built the columns to Baal. He has worshipped who worship the forces of nature rather than the God who has created all of his world. Baal, they were worshiping the created things and not the creator of all things. Worshiping the created things rather than the creator of all things. You see, this is the temptation that we all are drawn into, to worship the created things rather than the creator of all things. This is not a new phenomenon. This is what I think all of us are struggling with. Looking at what is about, if I only had that, I was just talking to Claire, if I only got into this college or that college, that would make it. That can all become our Baal. That can almost become the things of this world rather than the Creator himself, who is in control, the sovereign. And so we see how we're not so distant from all this. That's just ancient history. But this is now a period of the worst king in the period of Israel. And if we can believe it, that his wife was even worse. But Israel is worshiping Baal, worshiping the Astra, worshiping the sun god, worshiping the rain god, worshiping the things, the created things, rather than the creator of all. And nearly all the children of Israel did not worship God. The king had pulled them all away. And this is the people to whom Elijah is now being sent. To these people, God sends Elijah, to a wicked and perverse generation, a people who have forgotten God and now are worshiping the created things rather than the Creator himself. Elijah suddenly appears on this scene and brings a word from God. And despite all that Jezebel desired to kill the people, God speaks. He speaks. Elijah is taken and speaks to Ahab himself. It's like walking into Dodge City and saying, "We're going to change this place." He was in a wicked and a desperate situation. The one man he challenged, the 400 prophets, if we would go on to read how in chapter 18, how on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal and Elijah are in a contest, and he challenges these 400 prophets of Baal to have build their altar and call upon Baal to bring down fire. And Elijah is a pit against those 400, and God himself reveals him as himself as the living God who answers prayer, whereas those of Baal failed. But this is the contest that is going on here. Through one man he challenged those, but for the sake of bringing the word of God to the king, he was given the courage to do so. It was within these circumstances that Elijah testified of God's providence. In chapter 17, for where it's now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said, "The Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand. Surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Now what is this doing? Here are the people who are worshiping Baal, who is the god that they said controls of all the elements, the food, the animals, the things, the created things that they worshiped. And he's challenging them. There have been many years without rain, and he's challenging them, said, "But by my God, we will send rain. By my God, there shall be comes the dew and the rains. It will come by the word of God that he has spoken to him." And so it is that he is able to have the confidence that the living God, the one who is the creator, is able to control all of providence, all of the circumstances in which we live. I mean, many of us would like to be able to predict the weather, wouldn't we? And sometimes we do, don't we? It's not going to rain today, but it rains. Or it's going to be a perfect, we want to plan a vacation because it's going to be the perfect one. We can't control it. God is the one who controls the weather and the circumstance. He is the God of providence. We need to trust him. And it was this God that Elijah now is trusting to show himself to the people who had turned himself to worshiping the created rather than the creator. And this is the contest that goes on. And Elijah, as he comes upon the scene, declares that the God is to will bring the rain upon the earth, will bring the waters. For 3 or 4 years there had been no rain. And he prayed that God would send the rain. And for the sake of the word of God, that the king was, he was given this courage before the king. It was in these circumstances that Elijah testified to God's providence, that God would provide. He trusted God. God controls all of creation. He is not only the creator, but also the sustainer of creation. We learn in our catechism, and how does God declare through his decrees, or in creation and providence? The decrees of God are his, all of his works are creation and providence. This is God's world, and God is in control. God causes the sun to rise. God causes the sun to set. God gives life to the trees. He gives life to the flowers. He gives life to the animals. He gives life to you and me. He not only made life, but he controls life, all things. And truly, this is God's work. This is God's world. He demonstrates his glory through his creation and all of providence. The Lord Jehovah is Elijah's God. And for several years, God caused not a drop of rain to fall on Israel. If we could predict the weather, how would we predict it? I'm afraid if it was the prediction of weather was left up to me, we would lose all of our agricultural crops somehow for one reason or another if it was just the way I liked it. But God is the one who knows the balance. God is the one who is control of all creation. In that, we see that even the weather is the part of the providence that he himself is in control of. It may seem like such a mundane thing, but it is daily. God is giving. God is providing. And the second thing is, he is the daily provider. God was to protect Elijah from Jezebel. He hid him by this brook. Now, if there was no rain, no water in the land, how is he going to provide for him? Well, we read how he sent a raven with food for Elijah. Now, what do you know about ravens that makes this very intriguing? Ravens are a kind of bird we call a scavenger. What they find, they eat. Now, what's happening here? This scavenger bird God is using to feed Elijah in a time when there is no rain, where it's a famine. And yet it's God using a scavenger bird to feed his prophet. God is in control. God is providing. God feeds Elijah. So that ravens, led by God himself, bring the bread to Elijah. The great care with which God provided for Elijah, and the wisdom controlling the raven and changing these hearts of men. But God not only controls the weather, but also the very events of our daily life. And after 3 years and 6 months, God answers Elijah's prayer. Say to Ahab, go down so heavy showers don't stop you. It hadn't rained for 3 years. And now here is Elijah telling him, you better go down because there's going to be rain and you're chariot's not going to be able to move. You better get down there. So that by the power of God's word, by faith, Elijah prayed, trusting to God in the God of providence to send the rain. Elijah testifies, secondly, to the power of God. Not only that God is the God of providence and control of all events in life, but he is also the God of power. And this we see in chapter 18, where he proves to Ahab that he has been the troubler of Israel. And through this, he knew that Elijah would have to acknowledge God's hand. He had hardened, God had hardened in refusing to acknowledge God's hand. But Elijah confronts Ahab with the truth. You really are the troubler because you have turned the hearts of the people away from God. You are the troubler of Israel. You have turned them to the Baals. You have turned them to worship the created things rather than the Creator himself. And so he is challenged. And then in chapter 18, verse 20, we then read, so Ahab sent a messenger among the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Now we have that great contest. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. And then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left to the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Now let them give us two oxen and let them choose and give us choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will put a fire under it. And then you will call the name of your God, and I will call the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered and said, this is a good idea. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And then they took an ox and was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they leaped upon the altar which they made. When it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And it came about when midday was past that they raved until the time of the offering of evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered and no one paid attention. We look at people even today who are calling upon the created things for their pleasure and mutilating their bodies, mutilating their souls, because they're crying out to a God who does not hear, who cannot hear because he is dead. The living God hears. He is the creator God. He is the God who is in control of all providence, that we might know him and cry out to him. He is not mocked. And then we have Elijah who cries out to the living God. And by the miracle of God's demonstration that Elijah was the prophet of the Lord, God confirmed Elijah as God's messenger, the bearer of good news. We have the bearer of good news. Jesus Christ himself came to us. God sent himself in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Cry out to the created things and they cannot hear. But cry out to the Creator who is alive, and he hears and he answers. Christ himself testifies as the Word become flesh and dwell among us. In our American history, one of the early founders, actually the writer of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, was known as a deist. Now, what does a deist believe? A deist believed that God may have made the world, but then he just threw it out there and left it alone. God is no longer involved in the providence and the ongoing work. And so it was that Thomas Jefferson was said to have taken his New Testament and cut out all the miracles of Jesus because he did not believe that Christ was God who could perform. This was just imaginations of man or whatever he may have thinking. But Christ is God come in the flesh to us. He demonstrated himself in that he had the power over providence. He had the power over all the works of nature. He was God himself. We cannot deny him. But when we deny him as God, we deny all the redeeming work that he himself has done. And so poor Tom did not know the saving grace of Jesus. Like Ahab, he worshiped the creation and not the creator. God is a God of power. He is a God who is the creator, and he is also the redeemer. The one who came and dwelt among us. The one who did not sin and showed his power over all the evil and the forces of this world, that he himself might take upon himself in our place the punishment due to our sin. So that by his death and resurrection, there is victory over sin and over death. There is hope. There is life. That he sends the life-giving rains. He sends the refreshing waters of his Spirit to us, that we might live knowing him in the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. It seems very strange that after this great victory that God has given through Elijah the prophet over the prophets of Baal, that Elijah would then go out into the desert depressed. But he sits out there and he says, I only am left, and I just want to die. It might seem strange, but it seems that he might have just thought that he had done all of this. And now we still see that Jezebel is alive and Jezebel still wants to kill him. He's not been freed from her evil power. But God sends his angel and he says to Elijah, get up and eat. I am with you. The strength that is found in the food that you will eat will enable you to walk 40 days to Beersheba, and then from Beersheba to Horeb. God is the one who provides. God is the one who sustains. God is the one who gives life. It wasn't Elijah in himself having to stand against all the elements. And so we ourselves must see that we don't stand alone. We stand in the power of the gospel of the living Savior Jesus Christ, who has sent his Spirit unto us, that we are not alone. The victory does belong to the Lord. But as it belongs to the Lord, he now reveals himself to us and dwells in us, that we ourselves might live through the power of the gospel, the power of the good news in him. Do we get depressed? Do we get overwhelmed? I think yes, we do, if we're honest. But what must we remember? We have to be reminded, like Elijah had to be reminded, that it's of the Lord. The Lord gives it, and the Lord is with you. The Lord is, it's not in the circumstances. God is the God of providence. But he's also the God of promise. As he's given, and that promise is built through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the everlasting Redeemer. All who put their trust in him will not be ashamed, because God himself has given them the victory through Jesus Christ over sin and over death. We don't even have to fear death itself, because death does not conquer us. In essence, we are liberated unto him, because Christ himself has risen again. In God's love and mercy to you, cry out to Him. Let the power of God overwhelm you. That we would not be overwhelmed by our own weakness, our own inadequacies, our own deficiencies, but that we would be lifted up by the power of God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Poor Elijah, yet God did raise him up. Get up and eat. Get up. See that I have provided for you. And this will take you all the way to Beersheba, some 40 kilometers away. This is the power and the strength that He gives. For each day, the sustainer, the giver of life, through Jesus, who lives eternally. And we have that power within us by His grace and by His Spirit. Let us not try to live in our own strength, but with our eyes fixed upon Christ. Not sit down and woe is me, but keep our eyes fixed on Him who gives us, has given us that life. And we see it in the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And to all those who put their trust in Him, they will not be ashamed. I am not ashamed, says Paul, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He used the terms to the Jew first and also to all people. Are you ashamed of the gospel and get depressed? Or can we say with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And with Elijah be able to get up and eat and be used in His kingdom for His glory and honor. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus. Is Jehovah your God? Jehovah God. Elijah. Jehovah is my God. Jehovah, the one who is in control of all of providence and continues to rule all of creation, and who gives us life through His Son, Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for speaking to us. And I don't know sometimes where all of Your Word speaks at different points to different each of us, and perhaps at a different point in our life. But we all need to hear that our hope is in Christ. We all need to hear that there is victory in Christ. We all need to hear that we must continue to look to You and trust You, and not in our circumstances, but into the God who is in control of all of providence and who provides all things necessary to His people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.